praise God for the praise team singing out of the depths of their heart. We thank God for our musician. They're a little handicapped because our other one's not here, but God, hallelujah. And we give God glory and honor this morning. We say we give all glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's truly, hallelujah, the head of our life. And we thank God for Jesus this morning. So we came for no other reason but to hear the word from the Lord, didn't we? Hallelujah. Because Lord knows who was going to be here before we got here. It's just a blessing to be able to rise, close in your right mind with the mind stayed in Jesus. It's a blessing. Because I go to the nursing home a lot. You know, I go and I see people that sit there. And you speak to them. They look. I says, it's a blessing to have your right mind. I said, church, hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't have, enemy don't have no respect to person. Hallelujah. So it's a blessing. So this morning we have our pastor's not here. He and the ladies enjoying the anniversary. Let's give them a praise this morning. Hallelujah. And a lot of time we have our anniversary. We all sometimes go to different places. But we ask God blessing upon them and bring them back safe. And now, you just hear, come to hear. He will be back next Sunday. He texts us to let us know he made it there safe. And everything is going okay with them. So we continue to pray that the Lord will continue to bless them and keep them. It's our prayer. So this morning we have, you want to say something? I thought you raised your hand. So this morning we have a guest speaker who is I call her one of our own. She's here. And we love her so much. She was here during our retreat. And anytime we need her, she'll come. So I had a bio. I told her this morning, I said, I left your bio. She said, oh, that's okay. It's okay. Okay, I can help. But she is. She's one of ours. So her name is Terry McGee, and she would speak for herself. One thing we do know, amen. Titles. She got a lot of titles. I want you to know. She does. She's been to school. She's been there. She's been to college and everything. She's written books, and she's well capable of bringing forth the word. But the only thing that we need to know, that she's been born again. She's been saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious Holy Ghost, and been called into the ministry, and able to carry the word of God. And that's what we're going to need today. The word of God is the only thing that's going to save us. So at this time, with no further ado, I want you to stand and to receive her, hallelujah. Pray for her as she brings forth the word, and I guarantee you, you will be blessed at this time.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Now give that praise right back to God. Amen. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. He's exalted today. Father, we thank you that even, Lord, as we gather together in this place, God, that your name is the only name that will be exalted in the midst of your people. Now, Father, I am asking that you would do something supernatural, oh God. Father, that you will show yourself strong on behalf of your people this morning, oh God. Father, that you would strengthen me right now with might in my inner man, oh God. Father, that the presence of who you are will begin to move mightily in this place, God. And we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we honor you in the name of Jesus. And the church of the living God said, amen, 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 amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I know I sound a little nasally. That's true. I am a little nasally. My sinuses and the weather been having a battle, but my mouth still speaks. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So, as always, and in times of preparation, in times of moving forward, there's always this great expectation that with everything we all do, or what I do in times of being prepared for what it is that God does, I always get it in the end that God ain't gonna speak till he wanna speak. So you might as well go ahead and go to bed and get some rest and get some sleep and just keep doing what he called you to do, because he ain't going to speak till he gets ready to speak. So about maybe 9 o'clock last night, I said, this ain't working, but I'm studying, but this ain't working. I laid down, woke up at 1 o'clock this morning, and the Holy Spirit said, hello. I'm ready to speak now. Amen. I'm going to come from in the book of Genesis. I'm going to start at chapter 37. And if I had to have a title, my title would be Dreams Do Come True. Dreams do come true. And I'm going to come out of the book of Joseph, but I think it's going to be from a different perspective. Amen. And so when I begin to think about, when you're talking about dreams and vision, many times we think of prophetic. We think of prophetic ministry. We think of something that is supernatural, or something that God may be trying to show us, or something that God may be trying to tell us. And I know this is 2020, and we are talking about vision and sight and adjustment. But then God began to say to me that even though you have sight and even though you have vision, if you don't know what you're looking at, because there was a man that was blind that Jesus went and he touched his eyes. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men walking like trees." Now, how many of you know he saw it? But what he saw is not the clarity of what it is that he needs to see. And so, therefore, it's one thing to see, but it's another thing to know what you're looking at. Amen. And so we have a tendency in life, even with our walk with the Lord, we see Jesus one way and we talk about him one way. But do you really know what you're looking at, who you're looking at? And when we become filled and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he begins to call us into a new way of living, and we see ourselves one way, but do you really know what you're looking at? Because the Bible said that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so I believe today there's something in the life of Joseph that God wants us to see. And so it starts here in verse 37, and we all know the story. The story is that Joseph had a dream, and Joseph having a dream cost him something more than he thought that he could pay. But how many of you know dreams come true? And so it don't just happen in the Wizard of Oz with Dorothy and Alice in Wonderland. Dreams really do come true. And so God gives Joseph a dream, and that's the first thing I want to start with. Joseph didn't come up and decide he was going to have a dream. You know why? Because dreams happen in your sleep. I want to tell you today that God works best in our lives when we sleep, when you can't interfere, when you don't use your own logic and your own knowledge and your own understanding, and all of a sudden these pictures and images start creeping up in your sleep. What else happened when somebody went to sleep? Adam was sleep, and God pulled out one of the best things that he would ever experience in his sleep. Joseph went to sleep on a rock. He blessed it. He anointed it. But when Joseph was asleep, he said, "I see angels ascending and descending." And so God knows exactly where to put us when he wants to do something and give us something in our life to cause us to produce something that is directly related to who he is in our lives and in the heavens and in the earth. So Joseph is asleep, and dreams do come true. So Joseph has a dream. He starts seeing images, and he sees the clarity of what it is that God wants him to see. And it was clear enough that he was able to articulate it to his brothers. Now, I won't say if he was right or wrong because he shared the dream with his brothers. But here's what I want to say. If you see something, that's one thing. But if you don't know what you're looking at, that's a whole nother thing. So what happens when Joseph shares the pictures and the images that God gave him? All of a sudden, his brothers get a picture. They get an idea, and you ain't even had the dream. We're just telling you about the dream. But you, in some kind of way, formed an opinion about the dream and inserted yourself in the dream to be a lower nature, a part of the dream, instead of walking with the one and with the dream. So he starts to tell his brothers, and his brothers begin to say, "Are we going to be lower than you? Are you going to elevate yourself?" And then it says his father rebukes him, because his father said, "Listen, are you telling me that me and your mother?" And Joseph, all Joseph had was a dream that was getting ready to bless his whole family. All Joseph had was a dream that was getting ready to change the whole nation. He wasn't trying to intimidate nobody and make somebody feel bad. But you know what? They saw it, but they didn't know what they was looking at. They birthed him, but they didn't know who he was. And so we being in the earth, we have to begin to not only see ourselves, but to literally, and then we say, well, we see yourself. How does God see you? How does God see you? How does God see you? And then is that a continuation throughout your life? Or do you take a pause for the cause? Because then you start seeing yourself in a light that God said, no, I don't even see you like that. But when you get done, come see me and I'm going to show you who I am inside of you. And so Joseph has the dream and he begins to share the dream. And all of a sudden, this jealousy provokes them. The Bible said jealousy is cooler than a grave. Now, I don't know if you ever had anybody that was jealous of you. Jealousy has a defining, I can't think of the word, but jealousy performs in a way that is sneaky. So you would think, but it's sneaky to us because we see it, but you don't know what you're looking at. And when the Bible said it's crueler than the grave, one of the characteristics of jealousy is it comes to take you out. Jealousy ain't playing with you. And just because he had a dream, jealousy rises up within his brothers, and we see his brothers, but you got to understand that jealousy is what has come upon the scene. And so when it says it's crueler than a grave, it means exactly that. Because the first thing they do is say, I got to get rid of them. Not because of who Joseph is as their brother, it's because of the dream that Joseph had. And it begins to disturb them because of who they believe that they are. And so they're standing in the land of promise, and here comes Joseph. Dreams do come true. So the very first thing that they decide to do out of their jealousy and out of their envy is they decide, I'm going to get rid of them. But I want you to begin to tell yourself what they did is they just pushed me into the first place of my destiny. Because it says what he meant for evil, God turned it around for good. So you can't even get rid of people in your life that are jealous, that are envious, that cause strife. You can't get rid of people that want to take you out. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when you're walking in kingdom business and kingdom dominion, you can just say like Jesus said, listen, you want to throw me off the cliff, but my hour has not come. I ain't worried about you and your cliff. And see, when people get jealous, because you had a dream that God gave you the dream. You didn't initiate nothing. All you was a receiver. And as we know in football, the receiver just trying to get a touchdown. I ain't messing with nobody. I ain't bothering nobody. Just give me the ball and I'll run with it. I might have to get knocked around a few times. But if you just give me the ball, I'm going to head that way for a touchdown. It might take me a few times, but I'm assured to get in if you give me a moment. So Joseph gets the ball. And because he got the ball, they mad. And because he know what to do with the ball but don't know what the dream is about, listen, it never says that Joseph knew what the dream was about. It never said Joseph interpreted the dream. It just said Joseph had a dream. So rule number one, you put me out the family. That's okay. Then you throw me somewhere that the same one that's getting ready to promote me takes me in. And so he goes through a succession, but it's all about the dream and seeing it from God's perspective. And people say, well, he shouldn't have told them. Wasn't nothing wrong with him telling them, because had he not told them, they wouldn't have pushed him where he needed to go. When it's God, you ain't got to be scared. You ain't got to be afraid. When it's God that puts something down on the inside of you, you can do like Jesus did. I only do what I see the Father do. I only say. Jesus wasn't scared of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He understood who he was connected to. He did not only understand who he was connected to, he understood that I got something on the inside of me called the Word, because I am the Word. And when I'm a carrier of a Word, the Word has eternal purposes. You might knock me down, but you can't take out the Word. So when God gives you a dream with the word, and it's the word of God, because he didn't look for it, it found him. Oh, God. Do you know that you never have to look for a prophecy? You know why? It says numerous of times in the Bible, and the word of the Lord came. And the word of the Lord came. Whether it's through an angel, whether it's through a dream, whether it was through divine providence, the word of the Lord knows exactly where you are. And so what the word of the Lord says is, I found a conduit. I found somebody I can drop myself down on the inside of them. But not only can I drop myself down on the inside of them, they so fortified to be able to walk out what I've already. He made Joseph built for prison. Joseph ain't never went to prison, but Joseph went to prison. Now phase two. Now you done kicked me out the family. You done pushed me right on into where I'm supposed to go. Now I get demoted because I purpose to keep myself clean. So Joseph ends up down in the prison. And it's down in the prison that Joseph goes from just having a dream to start interpreting a dream. So Joseph starts doing something with the dream that he couldn't do in the beginning. But because he was ended up down in a place that was a holding place for me, God was just making him. God was just shaping him. And sometimes in our lives, we worried about what God has given us and how we going to do it and how it's going to work out. And this one don't like me and that one don't like me. So what? It ain't about you anyway. They looking at the wrong thing. It's about the word. It's okay for them not to like you. You ain't trying to be like. I'm just trying to be a carrier. I ain't bothering nobody. I ain't messing with nobody. When you realize I'm just a carrier of the word and a deliverer of the word, you might not like my personality. You might not like the way I talk, but it was something inside of me that Jesus said, here, catch it. And I caught the dream. And now I become the carrier. Now I become the running back. I like football. Now I become the one that has been chosen to hit the goal line. He didn't pick you for this. He didn't pick you for this. He picked you for that. So you got to find your own position. Stay in your own position. Stay in your own place. And you're going to be effective in your own place. Don't be a duplicate of somebody else. So instead of the brothers, if somebody said to me they had a dream, I said, well, let's see what God said. No, they didn't say that. They went on in their flesh. And they decided, and God said, I can use the flesh to get the job done. Be in your flesh. Just push him on right on into his destiny. Then he meets Potiphar's wife. And she thinks she's slick, but he was slicker than a can of oil. And so he was determined that he wasn't going to mess up nothing. So he said, okay. He ends up in prison. He starts interpreting dreams. That's the next thing that happens in his life. So he tell him, remember me. Some people ain't going to remember you because they ain't the people that's supposed to remember you. But I guarantee you the right person that you were supposed to get to, they did end up saying, so this one passed and that one passed. But when the king had a dream. See, some people are not that they're less important. It just ain't the right person. See, one of the things about prophets in the Bible, they were connected to people that could do something about something. Sometimes we're trying to connect to people. It don't make them less than anybody. We're all on the same playing field. It's just that my walk is different from your walk. It just means my connection is different from your connection. It simply means we're not going in the same direction. I love you, but I got to go this way. It's like being in the airport. Your tickets say Alabama. You're leaving from Columbus. Your tickets say Alabama, but you got to fly through maybe Atlanta. You don't get in Atlanta and start connecting with the pilot and the people that serving food and the restaurant people and talking about a bunch of this. The first thing you need to do is find your gate. Everybody say, find your gate. Your gate is on your ticket. You bought and paid for your ticket to get to your gate. And sometimes we standing in the middle of a layover. Say layover, because we have layover. The prison was a layover for Joseph. It wasn't meant to keep him. It just held him until something happened with somebody that could do something about something else. So what does the king? dream. What is the dream related to? The dream is related to Joseph's dream. So he has a dream. That's why you could connect with people and say, man, God put that same thing in me. Don't get competitive about it. Just start yoking up with him. So see, you got your portion. I got my portion. It's the body fitly joined together. Excuse me. Every joint supply. Said every joint supply. We need our joints. Oh, yes. I need you. You need me. We connected together. Maybe we ain't going the same way, but there's something about the body of Christ that he can connect us all together. Not miss a beat. You in Columbus. You in Atlanta. You in China. You in Australia. You in Korea. And all of a sudden he said, I hear a sound. And so he gets there. He gets to that place. 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 Stop not getting to the place because you're scared of what's going to get you to the place. If he running the football, he already know that the defensive back to the, or the whatever the defensive end, he already know he's going to get hit. You know you're going to get hit when you join the team. Soon as you join the team, your scholarship ain't going to stop you from getting hit. It's going to qualify. You only got on the team because you was qualified. Something about your past caused you to stand out in the eye of God and say, oh, yeah, they qualified. Oh, yeah, they ready now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They did that in small town. Oh, yeah, they did that on that team. Oh, yeah, I need them. Imagine. I ain't going to call no names, but imagine you get ready to go make 30, and you worth $35 million. And you still in college. You worth $35 million. What am I saying? You got to know what you're looking at. God don't make you worthy because you think you're worthy. He makes you worthy because he says you're worthy. You're worth $1 million when you join the team. You're worth a life when you join the team. And this is a life for a life. It's called all out. We all in. So Joseph has the dream and dreams come true. The reason why some dreams don't come true is because we're trying to think about it from a intellectual, deep and heavy. The dream wasn't deep. The dream was specific. We was binding sheaves. We was binding sheaves. That meant it was all of us together and we was all working together. And then yours bowed to mine. Wasn't a big deal. It was very simple. But how you looked at it, how you interpreted it, they got mad. Have you ever told somebody God put something in your heart to do, and then they look at you, they tell you everything and every reason why you shouldn't do it. Oh, they got 1 million people already doing that. Well, now they got 1,000,001 because they ain't heard it from me. That's called I serve a mighty God. I serve a big God. They ain't heard it from me yet. So I ain't got to get mad. I ain't got to be discouraged. I ain't got to be frustrated. Because when I got on the team, I was worth at least $1 million. Now, I know my value increased the better I get. And it says those that are led by God, they are the sons of God. Well, that makes me an heir, not only to salvation, but Jesus has paid the price for everything that I'm getting ready to encounter. So ain't no price really on me now. Wow. Let's see. You can't put a price on me. I can't put a price on me. You can't put a price on you. It said he paid it. Okay. Stop letting people tell you your worth. Stop telling people because you messed up, because you jacked up, because you missed a mark. Stop telling yourself that you can't make it and you can't do it. You messed up, you jacked up, I am too, and you're going to jack up again. But still he says, listen, but I paid the price. What was the price? Oh, don't worry about it, honey. It was a life for a life. You ain't ready for me yet. But I can tell you, I already paid the price. That's not a license to keep doing the same thing. But your value ain't like no car. When it goes off of the parking lot and it drives off, then it decreases in value. The better you go, the further you go, the longer you go. No matter how many hits you take, no matter how many discouragements, the dream still lives inside of the dreamer. So therefore, you only increase in value. about you. It looked funny because it looked like Jesus was big and bad when he was healing and he was delivering and he was setting people free. I'm going to give you another tidbit that I thought about this morning. Some people say, you just got too much going on. You got too many things. You got too many gifts. You can't do it all. You can't do it all. What you need to do is you just need to do this little bit right here and focus this little bit right here. How would you feel if somebody said, Jesus, you can't heal the man with the blind eyes. Jesus, you cannot heal the people with the leprosy. Come on, just focus on a few things. Why would you go over there with a woman that is at the well? You know we don't even like her kind. You doing too much, Jesus. What happened when the woman had the issue of blood and she was crawling? And Jesus, and they said, Jesus, we the big people, we up here. What you looking down there for? You can't do that, Jesus. She ain't even fitting in the script. She ain't even supposed to be near you. She ain't even supposed to be around you. And I can imagine that that woman was saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. You know what I call it? She got a touchdown, because she had to go lower than anybody else. But when she got up, she said, touchdown, 7 points. I don't even have to kick the ball in, because God is a complete God. And when I touched the hem of his garment, it was a touchdown like never before. And when she got up, he said, woman, who touched me? Who touched me? Only one in here healed. That's who touched. Only one in here healed. The Bible tells us that with the leper, it said it was what? Was it 10 of them? Was it 10 of them? And it said only one came back. Well, let me tell you about that. When he came back, he noticed while he was walking. He said, listen, go show yourself to the priest. And I believe while he was walking, and all of a sudden, said things start to change in his life. And something on the inside of him turned around and said, my God, I'm with the priest. And he turned on around. I ain't got to go find him. He's standing right here. And it said, listen, it said that when Jesus, when he got back, he began to worship God. And it said that they called from him the other ones. They called from him from afar. But this man understood something just changed in my life. Touchdown. And he got to where he bowed before Jesus. He said, where the rest of them? Where the rest of them? He said, I don't know. But it's something about the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me. My soul cries hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. And it said, listen, it could have been worse. But it wasn't worse. So here he is. And he's down in the pit. But now he done gone. He done gone from, I don't like you. He in jealousy now. So they want to take him out. Then they just try a tricky trick. Going to put it in some blood. What you? Y'all messing up, because blood is related to something. Why would you dip the man's coat in the blood? You just initiated something in the spirit, because it says it's the blood that covers. All you did was cover the man to go do. Stop hating on people. Hating on people, you just helping them get to their destiny. You think you doing something? You ain't doing nothing but helping somebody walk the walk and talk the talk. Joseph gets to that place. And the king said, listen, I had a dream. Oh, you know that man down there in the prison practicing interpretations? See, because he told me A, B, C, and D, and I saw it come to pass. So, yeah. But it said Joseph had favor down in the prison. That's when you know. That's when you know it's God. When it get real adversarial. When it get real ugly and you think you can't get out, but some kind of way you keep on moving, that's when the favor of God is on your life. It didn't say we wasn't going to get hit. Didn't say we wasn't going to have bumps. But the favor of God cannot be changed off your life. The favor of God cannot be turned around. The favor of God cannot be erased off your life. The favor of God can't be talked about off your life. The favor of God rests on you from a place in an eternal realm. They can't touch the favor and the anointing of God on your life. It is the anointing and the favor of God that will cause you to keep on doing what you're doing and keep on being who you are. Joseph started out with a dream. But everything that happened to him, it didn't mess up the dream. It just accelerated the dream. And then all of a sudden, it pushes him into a place called my destined place. Destiny ain't the grave. Destiny is not your burial. Destiny is not your funeral. Your destiny is in the hearth. Your destiny is in the earth to do what God has called you to do. You don't want to leave here with destiny and purpose down in your belly, with everything that God called you to do down in your belly. The reason why I talked about Jesus doing the healing and delivering and casting out demons, because they probably thought he was doing too much. But some people got so many gifts, talents, and abilities down on the inside of them. And people tell you you're doing too much. You're dreaming too big. Dream bigger than that. Every time they tell you you're dreaming too big. Don't you know how old you are? Don't you know you've been divorced? Don't you know you had abortion? Don't you know you messed up in your life? Don't you know that you used to be a liar and a thief? Haven't you been to jail? Oh, yes, I've been through all of that. Not me personally. I'm just identifying with everybody. But I got my stuff. Yeah, we all been through something. But you can't touch this. God qualified Joseph. God qualified Joseph in the coat of many colors that his father made for him. You can't touch what God has anointed. So they get down here, and now the king has a dream. And when the king has a dream, and I'm almost done. And when the king has a dream, and he said, listen, where's he at? And here he come. Here he come. He ain't looking for the prisoner. He looking for the man. I'm looking for the one that matches up with God has spoken to me. Listen, Paul was on his horse, and Paul had natural vision. Paul's vision, God needed to correct Paul's vision. So he knocks him off the horse. Now, you can't tell me that when Paul gets knocked off the horse, and now Paul can't see, but Paul knew that this was the Lord. Seeing ain't got nothing to do with God. You can know God when you can't see nothing. Because he ain't natural. He is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means sometimes I see you and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel you and sometimes I won't. But because your spirit, and I believe that my spirit bears witness that you are the Son of God, there's something inside of me that begin to rises up when I can't see nothing and I can't hear nothing. You know why? Even sometimes when you're trying to get in and you're trying to get a field goal and you got all these people blocking your way, I don't see nothing but the goal line. I can't see it because all y'all in my way. But the thing is, I know it's there. And because I know it's there, I've been in this thing too many times to know that if I had to jump, if I had to leap, if I had to run side. But my bottom line is, I need to get to the goal line. So Joseph is qualified. Joseph is equipped. He done had on the coat. They done covered the coat in the blood. He done been in the pit. He been sold by the media. I can't even remember who they are. However, he was in the pit and he was sold. He ended up in the place that he was really going to rule from, up in Potiphar's house. But then he got to take a layover, because it's in the layover that God's going to perfect this thing. And when God begins to perfect him down in the prison, he said, it ain't good enough, Joseph, that you got a dream. But down in the layover, you're going to learn how to interpret dreams, because the hour is coming. And now is when the sons of God are going to be manifest. The earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the sons of God. So he puts him in layover down in the prison. They forget about him for a little while, but it wasn't that they forgot. They was on assignment for God, and on the assignment there was something called the appointed time. And at the appointed time, Joseph came up. Joseph had the answer, not just for Potiphar. Joseph had the answer for the land. Joseph had the answer for the promised land, because his family is down in Canaan, and it ain't never supposed to be dry up in Canaan, but it's down in Egypt there where Joseph is, that they begin to flourish on the left and on the right. And here they come, the same ones that threw him in a pit. But then now the integrity of God is on Joseph's life, because Joseph is not just a dreamer. Joseph is the dream. And Joseph wasn't just dreaming. Joseph was now living the dream. The dream was prophetic. The dream opened the door. The dream positioned Joseph. Stop just looking at your life. Stop just looking at your life. Any old thing just won't do. God is calling for us to be more than what we think and what we imagine we are and who he called us to be. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Did anybody hear God in this morning? Did anybody hear the Holy Ghost speaking to them this morning? Because God wants us to know it ain't enough to see. You got to know what you're looking at. I don't want you to see men walking as trees. I want you to see men walking all kinds of life and all kind of ways, and you become the answer. When, how does that make me an interpreter of dream? Well, you don't know who's living the dream, and you don't know who's got a dream, and you don't know where the dream is going to emerge. There's a lot of Josephs and Josephines out there, and they got a dream on the inside of them, and they just waiting for Joseph. They waiting for somebody to come up by way of the Holy Ghost and say, listen, you think it too small. You're dreaming too small. As a matter of fact, if you go back into your childhood, you're going to say that even though I was a little different, God's hand was upon my life. God has blessed the work of my hands, and I cannot be confused about what other people are saying. That's why I'm walking through a time where God is separating me. He's pulling me in a direction that don't feel so good. But because it don't feel so good, don't mean God ain't with me. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort you. And even in the lonely hours of the dark place, the Lord says that I am your comfort. I'm your guard and your rear guard. He said, I'm doing something fresh in your life. I'm going to use your hands. Your hands are anointed for the next thing that's about to happen in your life. So many doors have closed, but God said, I am the open door. And from this day forward, you will not lack. You will not lack. Fear will break up off your life. You will not lack, and fear will diminish off your life. I dare you to stand up and begin to lift your hands, before God. Y'all worship God with her. There's a transformational thing that God is doing on the inside of you. Your heart, he gonna fix the broken places that are down on the inside of you. This is a day of new beginnings for you, sis. And the Lord said that you held on before and it seemed like it wasn't gonna last. He said, but this time I'm putting your hand right in my hand, and if I got to pull you through myself, you coming through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's somebody looking for you. It's somebody looking for the word inside of you. It's somebody looking for the hope inside of you. Stop dreaming small about yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. He is the good shepherd. He said, I left 99 because I was concerned about you. So the Lord causes Joseph and his brothers. He could have poisoned them. He could have hurt them because they meant to take him out. But because they didn't understand the dream, it's something called I once was blind, but now I see. Is that my brother? Is that the one we tried to take out? Don't ever bite the hand that feeds you, even though you know you don't know that it's the hand that's going to feed you. That means some have entertained angels unaware. And who God wants us to be, you who God wants us to be, y'all can sit down. Who God wants you to be, it has not been seen yet. You're only standing on the surface of it. So I prophesy that in 2020, you're not just going to see, but you're going to know what you're looking at. You're going to know what you're looking at. You're not going to get stuck in the layover. You're going to make it all the way. And some people have a whole lot of destinies. Listen, there's people that fly all around the world. Am I right, sis? They fly all around the world because you know why? They doing business. And we got to get to that place. I reach one destination. I do my business. I do God's business over here. Then I go over here and I go to another destination. Stop thinking there's one destination. There's many destinations. Jesus was destined in the Garden of Eden. So with everything that Jesus did in his life, he did so many things, but it really didn't mean nothing because Jesus kind of did it backwards. I'm going to show you what it could be like. I'm going to show you what it looks like. I'm going to show you how it feels. I'm going to show you what healing looked like. I'm going to show you what deliverance looked like. But here's what you don't know yet. Here go the big moment. The big moment is I came to die. I didn't come to live. I live this moment for you. But what I came to do is I came to die. Because when I died, everything I showed you, you're going to be able to do. And so he said, listen, here's my big moment. I know I did a lot of stuff. And I know y'all probably saying, he's just over here, he talking to people, he just messing up the whole thing. Well, Jesus, please sit down. We're going to throw him off a cliff. Not so, because now my hour still ain't come. Mary, can you turn this water into wine? Not my hour, Mary. Hey, didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? Jesus was everywhere. He was all over the place. He was taking ground for the kingdom of God. He was doing stuff that was unexpectable. And then Jesus says one day, guess what? My hour has come. And some of y'all at your hour has come moment. He knew how to handle it because he didn't emerge until it was time. Joseph did not emerge until it was time. You cannot emerge until it's time. When it was time, Joseph had an appointment with the king. Jesus said, listen, now I got an appointment with the king. And it's my time. I had to leave the king to bring the kingdom, but now I got an appointment with the king because we made this appointment before I came. And so now I'm going to rewind. And this is the last thing that I'm going to do. But as I do it, it's going to look ugly. That's why you, oh, Jesus. Purpose don't always look pretty. Destination don't, stop getting, this ain't Alice in Wonderland. This your life. This your life. What you see, what you dream. Jesus said, you can't even stop me from getting on the cross. I don't care how many times you slap me or spit on me. The goal line is at Golgotha's hill. And I'm the running back right now. And I got the ball in my hand. It's called the sin of the world. And I'm going to carry this thing all the way. I'm not going to fumble in the wilderness. I'm not going to miss it when I'm carrying my cross. I'm not going to miss it when I feel like the Father has forsaken me, because we have settled this. It was a team effort. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm worth more than $1 million. I'm worth more than $1,000. This one is for the world. This one is for you and me. And he gets up on that cross, stretches out his hands. One on the left, one on the right. He's still handling business. And then all of a sudden, he says, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And they said, all the doubters and believers, surely this was the Son of God. And when Joseph's brothers came, they understood that this was truly God's messenger in the earth. They might not see it now, but there's a time they're going to see it. My encouragement to you today is, whatever God has given you, don't stop at 2020 and just seeing it. Understand what you're looking at. A football is just pigskin until it gets in the hands of somebody that can make a touchdown, or throw the ball, or punt the ball, or make a recovery. Because if I fumble the ball, I'm still on the team. So I still have the opportunity to make a recovery. And it ain't for me. It's for everybody. So I ain't got time to be worried about it. Because Joseph's dream was for everybody. When I go in prison, I'm going in for everybody. When I go to Potiphar's house and deny his wife, it's for everybody. When I come up out of that prison and I got favor on my life and I start interpreting dreams, it's for everybody. Then he gets up there and he gets the information. He said, I know exactly what the dream is about because of this dream, it got me messed up along my journey. But now I done ran into the king that got a problem in the land. And I want to tell you that all the possibilities are in my hand. And he begins to just interpret the dream. Amen. And so, God, we thank you today. And we honor you today, God. We thank you that we will not just be people of vision. We will not just be people that see. And I prophesy I prophesy in this local church that they're not going to just see one dimensional, oh God. Father, that every dimension that their eyes can look upon, Father, make it known and make it clear in this place. Father, I thank you that in you they live, they have their very being. And in this new moment of celebration, oh God, we lift up the local church here at Grace New Covenant to you, oh God, and we say, breathe fresh upon each believer in this place, Lord. Father, begin to cause their eyes to be clear like never before. And Lord God, I thank you today that they will not be deterred because of jealousy, because of envy. But Lord God, they will move with eye precision, oh God. Father, I thank you for it and I praise you for it right now in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. 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 This one is for you, Jesus. This one is for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Strength and might in your inner man. In your inner man. In your inner man. In your inner man. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. I hear the Lord saying, I'm bridging the gap. Because some places in your life seem like they're unattainable. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that I'm bridging the gap. And what you thought impossible last year that you could not cross over, I don't know if it's education. I don't know if you feel like you can't make it or make your way. God said, I'm getting ready to take an impossible situation and I'm getting ready to make it possible in your life. And the Lord said, it's not because of who you are, it's because of who I am. And God said, favor is about to hit your doorstep. I don't know where you live, but I hear favor is coming to your household like never before. And then, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.